KX93.5, Laguna's only FM. We are member-supported radio. Always like having guests here in the studio, but this time we got a guest on the phone, but it's all good. It is Kevin Martin from Candlebox. And hello, my friend.
Hey, man. How are you?
I'm doing so good. A quick rundown on what we're doing. We just kind of sprouted up in Southern California about 10 months ago. We are a nonprofit, listener-supported station. A champion for independent artists and playing what's hot and alternative. My whole thing is like, I tell people there's only so much K-Rock or Clear Channel can do. And I think that it's so, you know what I mean, though? It's so far so good.
I agree with you 100%. Right. Well, congratulations. Welcome to the world of rock and roll, huh?
Thank you so very much. Again, Kevin Martin on the phone from the band Candlebox. Those Candlebox songs, a lot of tracks everybody knows. And those songs are going to be living on terrestrial radio forever. And now you guys are actually celebrating the 20th anniversary, right?
Yeah, 20 years of that first album.
Amazing, dude. Now, was this something that automatically you were like, we got to do this? Or did it take some time to get everybody on board to do this tour?
No, I mean, you know, we've been touring for the past 7 years. You know, we've done South America and some overseas stuff. So for us, it's nice to be able to go out and play that first record to people that, you know, supported us 20 years ago by buying it and have continued to support us. And, you know, this record still sells something like 50,000 copies a year. And to us, that's a shock. You know, it pays our rent. It allows us to continue to do what we do. So for us to go out and say, hey, you know, let's tour on that record, let's play it in its entirety, and for the audience to enjoy it from top to bottom, is great for us, you know.
Dude, I think that's a very cool, fun thing, and bands are doing that. They're playing those records in its entirety. I saw Sponge the other day at the Coach House down here in Southern California, and dude, a lot of people showed up. I like to tell people nostalgia is big business, but dude, you've been fortunate to have music be your occupation for years now. What a blessing that must be.
Yeah, every day you wake up and you pinch yourself, you're in a different city. Like I said, you know, I'm calling you from Lewiston, Idaho. And,
yeah.
You know, we play here tonight. We play Spokane tomorrow. We've got a big show in Seattle on Saturday, the 20th to the day year release of the first album. I mean, that's crazy for us and how lucky we are to be able to do this. I mean, I started this band in 1990.
Yeah.
And you know, I still can't believe that I don't have a day job. It's just shocking to me that this is what I've been able to do for 23 plus years.
Well, let me ask you this. Originally, you're from where?
I was born in Chicago.
And the band sprouted up. Where was that in the world?
In Seattle. I moved to Seattle when I was 14 right. in 1984.
So what was going on in Seattle? I imagine you guys were grinding it out, playing just about every show that you could. And who really took notice first? Was it a record label person? Was there just a buzz around the community about you guys as well?
Well, it was interesting. It was there was when I moved there in 84, I was 14 years old. So, I kind of got a taste of what was happening in Seattle from an early on stage. I got to see Soundgarden when Chris Cornell was still playing drums, which a lot of people don't know. You know,
wow.
I saw a lot of the early Alice in Chains shows and stuff. So, but we were, each one of us in the band were 6 years younger than those guys. So,
right.
You know, you imagine, you know, you're going to see guys that are 20 years old playing rock and roll when you're 14 years old. So there was a lot of an age difference there that kind of made things difficult for us. And we came up and started playing the shows around town because nobody knew who we were. We were just, you know, four dumb kids that nobody had ever heard of or seen play. Even though we'd all been in other bands and we'd been playing around the city for years, you know, it just kind of seemed like we sprouted up from nowhere. So that made it very difficult being from there. And you know, Pete and Barty and Scott, they were all born and raised in Seattle. So, you know, we are a Seattle band. That's where we originated and what we did. But we were never really a grunge band. We were just a blues-based rock band. So, you know, the reason we sound a lot different than Alice in Chains and Pearl Jam and Soundgarden and the such is that we were so much younger when we started playing music that our influences weren't Soundgarden and Pearl Jam and Mother Love and stuff like that. It was, you know, Black Flag and Black Sabbath and The Clash and The Who. So
sure.
We come from the more blues-based background. So,
right.
You know, those are our differences.
Dude, but I imagine, you know, when you're going to see those bands, like you said, Soundgarden and those type of bands coming out of Seattle, I imagine you were probably just a student of the game as well, probably in the audience and taking notes and not critiquing the bands, but trying to figure out how to put together a Candlebox set for you, right? I mean, I hear about, you know, Frank Black and the Pixies used to go to shows. And, you know, he used to come home and he just wanted to write enough songs just to play a set. He's like, all right, we need 12 songs, you know, so we could do that. Anyway.
Yeah, you definitely do that. You definitely do that. I mean, I still, when I go see a concert, I still watch the drummer the whole show.
Really?
I started out as a drummer. When I started playing drums when I was 12. Mm-hmm. So I'm like the reluctant lead singer of Candlebox. You know, it's one of those things that I fell into. And you know, so I go to see a show from early on. My first concert was the Black Flag Butthole Service and Dead Kennedys in San Antonio, Texas, before cool. I moved to Seattle. And that was such a huge, huge, huge influence on me about, you know, how to play a show. I mean, I did my first stage dive at that show. And, you know, cool. that's a real shock when you're, you know, 13 years old and you're jumping off stage and Henry Rollins is grabbing your hand and pulling you back up to do it again. You know, that's something pretty special.
That's so, yeah. awesome. That makes for a freaking awesome story.
Yeah, well, you know, we toured with him in 94 in Europe. And I was so starstruck because he was the reason I started really wanting to be a singer in a band and wanting to be in a band. So we toured with him for 3 weeks, and at the last show, I couldn't even talk to the guy. I was so overwhelmed with the history that I had with him and what he had done. And
sure.
he asked me, he goes, well, you know, what's your problem? And I was like, dude, you changed my life when I was 13. I told him the story, and he remembered it note for note. And a few years later, I was doing an interview for a German magazine, and the guy asked me, he said, listen, we just had Henry Rollins here doing a spoken word, and he was telling a story about
wow.
how you had toured with them and you didn't talk, and then all of a sudden you had this long conversation with him. And I was like, that's amazing that he would remember that kind of stuff.
But, dude, that's so, you know, cool.
That's, yeah, it's rad.
Right.
Lucky me, right?
Again, Kevin Martin from the band Candlebox on the phone right now, playing House of Blues on the 23rd of this month. That is House of Blues Anaheim. So, pretty soon you'll be sweeping through Southern California. I did want to ask you this. The last record came out from Candlebox was, I think, just over a year ago, Love and Other Musings, right?
Yeah, Love Stories and Other Musings.
All right. Can you, you know, give us light on, I guess, the recording process, how things have really changed from when that first Candlebox record came out from, you know, this new release? You know, is it all digital, whereas before it may have been different? Did you link up with any rad producers for, you know, the latest record?
Well, yeah, we worked with Ken Andrews, who is of Failure fame and producer of Perfect Circle and numerous albums. He just produced the new Paramore record as well. But I'm a huge, huge Failure fan. So
yeah.
when he agreed to produce the record, that was a great day in my life. I remember calling my wife going, Ken Andrews is producing a record. She's like, who the hell is Ken Andrews? but all my musical friends were like, are you kidding me? Ken Andrews is doing your album. That's amazing. It's so much different now. I mean, when we did the first record, it took us 8 weeks in the studio. This record we did in 13 days. You know, it's
sure.
the recording process is so, so much different. And, you know, we're much better songwriters now than we were back in the day. We understand the process of getting in and out of a verse and in and out of a chorus, and this type of a bridge would fit well with this song. And we understand our music, our instruments, and ourselves much better. So we can go in the studio and record an album in 10 days and be stoked about it. And to be honest with you, this is the best record Candlebox has ever made. I think if people okay. buy it and sit down, or even just go find it on the internet, I'm sure it's free somewhere.
Really? Well, yeah, I got a chance to hear it, and you should be very proud of it because the record sounds great. Again, Kevin Martin from Candlebox on the phone now. How big are you in the social networking? Like, if we tweet at you, is it you who are going to tweet back at us, or does Candlebox have handlers who does these days?
We do it. We do probably 95% of the Facebook stuff. The tweeting is all me.
Cool, man.
And the that's all me and all that stuff. But the Facebook stuff is 95% of it's us, and then we do have a couple guys that kind of do the more broad spectrum type of stuff that we don't really understand, that they get paid to do that sort of thing just to kind of
right.
make sure that,
well, hey man, it's
the
like
right tags out there, you know?
It's like a new era, and of course what we're doing on the radio station here, you know, the social networking, the media, or you know, the internet stuff aspect of it is so damn crucial and so important. And if you're a band who are, you know, you are working those crappy day jobs just to facilitate your art at night, you know, you got to do it on your own. In fact, is there any advice you would give to someone who would love to be in your shoes one day, who's been able to make a career out of music?
Well, first and foremost, you got to be honest with yourself, and you have to respect the gift that's been given to you. Just because your parents or your best friends say it's great doesn't mean it is. Secondly, don't try and sound like anybody else. We have enough Nickelback bands out there.
Sure.
Enough of the screamo rock and roll bands, you know, that are spinning their guitars around and stuff. It's like, you know, there is great music to be made, and if you have a talent, you'll find it, and just let it be what it is. Don't try and sound like anybody else. That's the biggest mistake that young artists make. If you listen to Candlebox, we sound exactly like we sounded 20-some-odd years ago, and we sound like nobody else that came out at the same time. So
cool.
You know, that's kind of what allowed us to do what we did.
Nice. Kevin Martin on the phone again. The show that we're going to be at is the 23rd at the House of Blues Anaheim. That would be downtown Disney. It is a rad venue to see a show. Candlebox will be performing as part of their 20th anniversary tour, which is amazing to say. Kevin Martin, I forget what else I was going to ask you. Of course, that's why we roll tape on this, I suppose. I was looking at, your discography, all of these things on Wikipedia. Now, I don't believe everything that I read on the internet, but it seemed like, you know, you've been very active throughout the years, but there was almost like a 6-year gap or something, like 2000 to like 2006, I want to say. What was going on at that particular point with the band? Were you on hiatus? Were you working on other projects? And is that the case, or am I way off, man?
No, it's true. There was a little bit of both. We got into a bit of a legal battle with our label, Maverick Records, in 2000. We asked to be let off. We went through some serious BS with them for quite some time. And it's business, you know. It's not personal. And unfortunately, record labels have kind of lost sight of you know, what the bands have done for them. And so for about 4 years, we couldn't really do anything as Candlebox. So Pete went off and did Red Light Music. I did a band called the High Watts, which was a couple friends of mine that I have in Los Angeles as musicians. And then in 2004, when the deal was terminated with Maverick, we started discussing things with Rhino Records about doing a Best Of, which they put out in 2005. And we decided to put the band back together then and start touring again in 2006. So
cool.
We were always kind of there doing our thing. We legally were bound against doing anything as Candlebox.
So what's next, man? I mean, after this tour is all said and done, you're gonna kind of relax and take an R&R for a while, or you guys gonna hit the studio, continue to work?
Oh yeah, we're taking off next year from the States. We're not doing anything in the States tour wise. We are we've got overseas. We've got South America, and we have some European stuff, and hopefully some Asian dates that we're looking at. And then after that, we are hoping to release 2 songs a month acoustically for a year, just for free on our webpage, so you can take them and do what you want. And
very cool.
And, yeah, so we don't have to worry about labels anymore. We do everything on our own, and it's good, man. Life is good.
Good, man. I feel like the only bands who are really able to do it without a record label, you're talking about, you know, Nine Inch Nails, Radiohead, and Prince or something. But you guys have found a way to definitely be a success in music. Again, Kevin Martin from the band Candlebox. See him in Southern California very soon, playing that first Candlebox record in its entirety. Anything you wanted to say to the general public who, for some reason, might not be familiar with Candlebox thus far?
No, man. I mean, we're just a rock and roll. If you like rock and roll music, it's the kind of band that you're going to like. You know? I mean, it's... We've been fortunate enough to do this so long that, you know, a lot of people that don't know us, you know, they find us somehow, and we're cool with that. You know, it's all about kind of just letting people know what Candlebox does, and that we've been doing it a long time. And yeah, I mean, if you like rock and roll music, that's us.
Cool, man. Is there any artist that, you know, came across your desk or whatever, or you discovered them at a show or just listened to them randomly, that you've decided to take under your own wing, you know, as a producer? Or what other artists do you think we should know about these days that you dig on?
Wow.
Now, that's probably question that every DJ will ask you in every market. Sorry about that.
No, that's good. I mean, I'm a huge, you know, supporter of indie music. I love The National, one of my favorite bands.
Sure.
Alberta Cross, one of my favorite bands. I love Dead Confederate. I really kind of like that kind of rock and roll band of Skulls.
Sure.
You know, that type of thing. I've often said I'm in the wrong band because the music that I listen to is, you know, nothing like Candlebox. But, you know, there's so much great music out there, man.
Right.
It's hard to pick and choose exactly what you can do, and you know, with finding bands and producing them. I mean, everybody's kind of doing their own thing now, so I don't think there's any real room for somebody like me to come on board and you know, try and produce anything like that.
Right on. Well, I figured, you know, with your expertise and stuff like that, you might be able to drop some knowledge down on an up-and-coming artist or someone who's very green in the industry.
No, I just, you know, it's all about honesty and respecting your craft.
Right on, man. Well, dude, you're a super cool guy to talk to, and we appreciate taking the time. Again, I don't know if it's going to work out this time around, but eventually you got to see our little studios and our setup, and I imagine the station's going to be around for years to come.
I look forward to it.
All right, we're going to rip into a couple tracks from Candlebox right now. Again, Kevin Martin, thanks for taking the time. You have a killer show tonight, and we'll talk to you, or we'll see you at House of Blues on the 23rd, my friend.
Thank you, my man.
All right, see you, brother.